Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
And welcome into WEEI special coverage here until 12:30. I'm John Lyons. We have David Azer producing for us. And special coverage because, as you may or may not have heard, the Patriots have a solution to their head coaching search. Mike Vrabel has agreed to become the Patriots head coach. A multi-year agreement. That's from Adam Schefter on ESPN. It's been, of course, reported in a few different places as of now. But Mike Vrabel will be your new head coach of the New England Patriots. I'll be talking about that up until about 12:30 or so. We do have NFL playoff coverage on WEEI after that. John Serenides of the New England Football Journal will hopefully join me later this hour, talk through a little bit about what Vrabel's scheme and culture might look like. Also, the big question now, who's going to be the offensive coordinator of the New England Patriots under Mike Vrabel? Obviously, you know, Drake May's development, probably the biggest issue this team has. We saw some good signs of that in 2024. But going forward, that second year for a young quarterback is incredibly important. So whoever Vrabel brings in for the offensive coordinator position will be key here. But again, Mike Vrabel, headline news, Mike Vrabel has agreed to a multi-year contract to be the Patriots head coach. He takes over for Gerard Mayo, who went 4-13 in his lone season as Patriots head coach. That, of course, followed Bill Belichick's final season in which the Patriots were also 4-13. So we're talking about a team that's won 8 games in the last 2 years. They're hoping Mike Vrabel, obviously paired with Drake May, will help lead them into the future and improve upon that as they look to get back to being a playoff team again, which is what Robert Kraft said in his press conference on Monday. He wanted a coach that would help get the Patriots back to the playoffs. And I'll tell you, this Vrabel hire, I like. Don't love how the process played out, but I do think ultimately they got a great candidate in Mike Vrabel to be their next head coach. You can, of course, join me, 617-779-7937. That is the phone number, and it is the text line. So if you have any thoughts, questions, concerns about the Mike Vrabel hire, how this went down, or if you're just excited that the Patriots have a good head coach once again, I would say that's something that I'd love to hear from people about, because I think most people are excited about this. There may be some people that didn't love the process here. We're going to go right to the phones here. We got people lined up. Let's go to Juan in Rhode Island. Wants to talk Vrabel and his comparison to Bill Belichick. Juan, welcome into the program.
Hello, good morning. I'm just wanting to say that I think Vrabel's going to work. However, if we're going to say that he is a gut-in-the-house rehab job, and that analogy, that's valid, but the crafts have to come and spend for materials. You understand? Like, they have to go out there and buy talent. And I want to see that. Go back to the days of Moss. Go back to the days of Dylan. They had an opportunity to give Lamar Jackson 250 over 5 guaranteed. They chose not to. Okay, we can do stuff here, but you got to spend. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate the call, Juan. And, yeah, that's kind of the next step in this, because I think we could all agree the biggest reason the Patriots won 4 games in back-to-back seasons the last 2 years, their roster was one of the worst in the NFL. I mean, 2 years ago in 2023, with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi, you got the worst quarterback play in the NFL, not hyperbole. You got the worst quarterback play in the NFL. Last year, you get better quarterback play first with Jacoby Brissett, then, of course, much better quarterback play with Drake May, yet you still win 4 games. And I think the biggest reason that Gerard Mayo got fired, it was not the press conference missteps or the walkback Mondays or any of that. And look, that played a factor, don't get me wrong. But it was the lack of development as the season went on. And Robert Kraft specifically mentioned the word regression in his press conference talking about Mayo getting fired. And I actually wrote about that in the Sunday 7 this morning for WEEI.com. It wasn't so much the press conference stuff. It was the team regressed as the season went on, and players as a whole, I thought, regressed as the season went on, especially coming out of that bye week against Arizona. Then you follow it up with a pretty good game against the Bills. You still turn the ball over three times in the second half, and then you get blown off the field by the Chargers a week after that. But you look at this Patriots roster, I can think of three guys that got better as the season went on. And you correct me if I'm wrong if you're out there. Drake May, Joe Milton, Marte Mapu. Only three guys I can think of that were noticeably better football players at the end of the season than they were at the beginning of the season. Now, you can tell me, hey, Christian Gonzalez was an all-pro. Well, I thought he was on his way to being potentially rookie of the year before he got hurt last year. So I don't think he got better. I just think that's how good he is. Right? You can look at guys like Ramondre Stevenson. I thought he got worse. I thought your offensive line was terrible to start the year, got a little bit better in the middle, and then went back to being the worst offensive line in the league towards the end of the season. You look at your linebacking core. I know Juwan Bentley got hurt, but that group got worse as the year went on. Felt like your defensive line did. I know they traded Joshua Uche during the year, but it felt like your defensive ends, your edge presence got worse as the season went on. So it wasn't the press conference stuff that got Mayo fired. And it wasn't even four wins. It was the team got worse as the year went on. They looked worse than they had the year before. They were less competitive than they were the year before. So why does that matter in the context of Mike Vrabel? Well, I think the team will get better as the year goes on under Mike Vrabel. I think Mike Vrabel, and of course the big question, who's going to be his offensive coordinator? Who's going to be his offensive line coach? Who's going to be his receivers coach? Right? Those are the positions that need the most development. Who's going to be his quarterbacks coach? Of course, because you have Drake May and Joe Milton, two guys entering their second year, which you would hope going forward, May's your franchise guy, and at least for the next few years, Joe Milton can be a legit backup for you. But that's the key questions there when it comes to Vrabel is, who are those guys going to be? But I think regardless, players and this team will get better as the year goes on under Mike Vrabel. But what's the ceiling going to be? How much are they going to add to this roster? Because I think they got the right guy. When I wrote for WEEI.com, my top three coaching candidates for the Patriots, Mike Vrabel was one of them. I had him number two behind Brian Flores, but he was in that top three. I think it's a great hire. But what are they going to do next, I think, is the key question. Because I think you have the answer at head coach. We'll see what the answer is at offensive coordinator and offensive position coaches. But what are you going to add to this roster? You got a bunch of cap space. You got a bunch of actual cash to spend. You have the fourth overall pick. You have high picks, of course, in the second, third rounds, and so on. So what are you going to do to improve the ceiling of this team? What are you going to do to add talent, not just on the offensive line, but also to the skill positions as well? And everyone wants to say, okay, T. Higgins or trade for this guy. And I think they need something like that. But I want to know, what is the next kind of 2 months or so of this front office look like? That's my big question, because I think it's a good hire. Now, the process itself, and I'm going to get into this more in our next segment, the process I think could have been a little bit better. You go back to last year, and you go back to Gerard Mayo getting promoted, they didn't interview anyone. They had the succession clause in his contract. They had pretty much everything set in stone that, hey, Mayo's going to be the next guy. Even, hey, they fired Bill a year early. Vrabel was available. They still stuck with Gerard Mayo. Now, some of that may have just been loyalty to Mayo. Some of it could have been financial reasons, because, again, if they had hired Vrabel a year ago, they would have been paying Bill, Vrabel, and Mayo all for the head coaching position in one way or the other. And maybe it was also just, hey, they did believe in Mayo. And Mayo could eventually be a good head coach in the NFL. Just obviously showed this year he was not ready. So you bring in Mike Vrabel. I think, again, the Patriots will get better as the season goes on. They will not regress like they did this year. What's the ceiling, though, on that improvement? Because if your roster's not good enough, there's only going to be so much improvement there. Now, when it comes to Mike Vrabel, 54-45 record as the Titans head coach. Went to the AFC Championship game after the 2019 season. What's notable about that, of course, takes down Tom Brady and Bill Belichick in the wild card round. Ended up being Brady's last game as a Patriot. Then went to Baltimore, upset, the top-seeded Ravens. And then he goes and loses to Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, which, outside of Tom Brady, pretty much everybody has lost to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. And I know Joe Burrow beat him in that AFC Championship game in 2021 as well. But I think what we saw in Tennessee was a team that obviously had more talent than the Patriots. They had A.J. Brown. They had Derrick Henry. He got the most out of that talent. And there were times, and Logan Ryan said this, and this stood out to me as well. Logan Ryan said this in an interview earlier this week with Mass Live. Mike Vrabel at times outcoached pretty much everyone he went against. And there were times he outcoached Bill Belichick. Remember those intentional penalties in that playoff game? There were times he outcoached John Harbaugh. There were times he outcoached, again, pretty much everybody he went against. And that's the type of edge that I think you're going to need with this Patriots team. Because like I said, I'm watching the next 2 months. How do they add to this roster? How do they improve that ceiling? Because I think Mike Vrabel improves your ceiling. Mike Vrabel pretty much guarantees that your team will get better as the year goes on. But what do they do to add to it? Because I could see Vrabel out coaching a lot of people next year. What's the roster look like? How much do they add to it? What is the ceiling that Vrabel has? Because I think you already improved your ceiling with him. You got to continue to improve it with the roster. Let's go back to the phones here. Tim in Hanover wants to talk Mike Vrabel. Tim, welcome into the program.
Brother, I love everything you're talking about. The only thing I didn't do every time I've called on the radio is lay all my my cards down on the table. I like Vrabel. People were still liking Ben Johnson, which he could have done it, but Vrabel's the guy with the experience. He showed what he can do. He had less than what Mayo had at Tennessee, and he did a great job with them, but they didn't spend. Here's what went, and that's what that last caller said. We have to spend now to give him what he wants, and he has to get that offensive coordinator that has the experience like Leftwich or somebody. I don't know who he has, but it has to be on a good top level and proven, like he's won a Super Bowl or whatever. But let's go. We got Joe Milton, and we got the young other kid and me, and I'll tell you what, he can enhance them with the right people. And I'll tell you, you got two good guys to choose from. Milton could surpass May. Who knows? We got to give him the shot. We've seen it in the end of last season game. He finally got the play. We've seen this kid as a keeper. And now we can use both as a backup or a starter. And going forward, let's get the right people in the draft to spend money.
Tim, thanks for the call. And I think one thing we learned from that last game of the season, and if you will, the one positive that we got, Joe Milton can be your long-term backup quarterback to Drake May, at least for the next, say, 2-3 years, which on an affordable contract, that's $8 million you don't have to spend on Jacoby Brissett. That's valuable, right? So if you're spending the league minimum on Joe Milton for 2 or 3 years, that's just more money you have to spend on offensive line, receiver, tight end, you know, whatever direction you want to go. And to Tim's point, this offensive coordinator search is fascinating to me because if you look at who Vrabel worked with in Tennessee, Matt LaFleur, he was the offensive coordinator there early in Vrabel's tenure in Tennessee. Obviously, he's the head coach of the Green Bay Packers now. We saw him work really well with Aaron Rodgers until the very end. We've seen him work really well with Jordan Love and develop him. So Vrabel obviously picked the right guy in Matt LaFleur and saw that. And then you saw, after LaFleur leaves, Vrabel goes with Arthur Smith. And Arthur Smith, I know it didn't work out for Arthur Smith with the Falcons as the head coach, but he got the best seasons of Ryan Tannehill's career down there in Tennessee. Arthur Smith did. Obviously, with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he just made the playoffs as an offensive coordinator. And if you look at that Steelers offense, George Pickens is a really talented player, but his effort's inconsistent. Beyond him, they don't have a ton at receiver. They have Najee Harris, who's good. Their offensive line's all right. I wouldn't consider it elite. And their quarterback play was really erratic. I mean, Justin Fields earlier in the year, and then Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson had some huge moments. Remember that 450-yard game against the Bengals or whatever it was, that huge game? But then he also had some really quiet moments. And Arthur Smith at least got enough to get that Pittsburgh team in the playoffs. So Vrabel, at least, He picked two really good offensive coordinators down in Tennessee back-to-back. I wonder what route he'll go here, because the Patriots traditionally, like when Vrabel was a player here, you know, they ran that Earnhardt Perkins system with Charlie Weiss, then Josh McDaniels. Of course, you had Bill O'Brien sprinkled in there. Pretty different from what Matt LaFleur ran and what Arthur Smith ran as well. So does Vrabel look for someone? And I have some candidates in mind I'm going to talk about coming up after this break. But does he look for that offense he ran in Tennessee, that West Coast style, kind of what Drake May did with Alex Van Pelt as well? Does he look for that? Or does he look for, hey, this is what worked in New England, this is another good system, and go for that? Or does he go for a mix of the two? I think it's an interesting decision because, again, Vrabel hired a couple great offensive coordinators in Tennessee that did things differently than how we're used to seeing him with the Patriots. So he does have a pretty good track record of hiring offensive coordinators. Let's go to the phones here. I know there's a few of you lined up. Let's sneak in one before we go to break. How about Jake in Boston? Jake, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
What's going on? I would say there's cautious optimism. I mean, this was a move you should have made last year.
Sure.
But cautious optimism because Vrabel is a no-nonsense guy. The problem I think you have is you've got two problems. Number one is that no-nonsense guy that is kind of a hard bleep is one where, if you look at the modern athlete, that is a tougher connection to make. And I'm not thinking about football. I'm thinking about hockey. Like, Mike Babcock got run out of town because he was too mean to his players. There are other coaches that have been run out of town because they're too mean these days, and they say the wrong things, and the players whine, and it turns into an HR thing. So you have that to worry about. The second one is the way this team treated the Rooney Rule in the last week was disgraceful. And in a league that's 70% African-American, and in a league where you lost out on DeAndre Hopkins last year because his wife didn't want to move up here in the first place, if you don't think those wives and those players are talking about what just happened, and not necessarily that Gerard deserved to go, but the way he was cleaned out in less than an hour post-game, and the way he was probably misled to and lied to, and what Chantal's alluding to on her Instagram, watch out for free agency, and you better bring the checkbook, Robert, because you're going to have to pay premiums on talent if you want to offset what happened in the last week.
Yeah, Jake, thanks for the call. A couple interesting points here. I'm going to get into the Patriots' search for Vrabel because, as I talked about on this station 6 months ago and a year ago, results are one thing, but what you want is a great process because anybody can get a good result here and there. If you have a great process, it will lead to consistent good results. And I think the Patriots here, they got a good result with Mike Vrabel as head coach. I don't think they necessarily had a good process, which again, you got the good result, you got Vrabel. I do wonder over time, though, what are some of the processes in that building look like? Because that'll affect how they go after free agents, how they draft, how they build a coaching staff, how they build the entire organization back up to being hopefully a playoff team once again. So I'm going to get into the process coming up next, including basically the total flouting of the Rooney Rule, as well as offensive coordinator candidates. I see some of you lined up on the phones. We will get to you on the other side of this break. But first, it's time to trend with David Azer.
All right, let's get you caught up on what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. As you just heard, the Patriots have agreed to a multi-year contract with Mike Vrabel to become their next head coach. After four different interviews, they have picked Vrabel as the next guy. The Bruins snapped their six-game losing streak yesterday afternoon, defeating the Florida Panthers 4-3 after David Pastrnak scored the game-winning goal with 1.2 seconds remaining in overtime. Jeremy Swayman had 40 saves in the win. The Bruins are back home on Tuesday night to play the Lightning at 7 p.m. The Celtics are getting set to face the Pelicans at 6 p.m. tonight. They'll look to right the ship after falling to the Kings on Friday night. The Celtics are 5-5 in their last 10 games. Westwood One's coverage of the NFL wildcard weekend rolls on today right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 12:30 with the Denver Broncos heading up north to face the Buffalo Bills. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More with John Lyons coming up after this.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. We're talking Mike Vrabel, hired as head coach of the New England Patriots, the 16th head coach in team history, takes over for Gerard Mayo, who had one season with the Patriots, was 4-13. We are going to be joined around 11:45 by Andy Hart. He's going to give his initial thoughts of the Mike Vrabel hiring. We are going to continue to stay with the phone lines, though. I know a lot of you are lined up, phone line and text line. Let's go to Neil in Georgia, who wants to talk about Mike Vrabel. Welcome in, Neil.
Hey, guys. Thanks, man. I'm actually in the, on the beaches of Key West right now.
Whoa. Lucky I'm you.
Yeah, well, the talent on the beach today is less than what the Patriots have in their locker room, so it's not that great, but it's still nice. So listen, I live in a van and I have a bunch of different Boston and New England hats. Today I have put my Patriot hat back on. First time I've done that in a number of months. Now my point on Vrabel, I think it's a great hire because Mayo said it himself. When the players are on the field between the lines, he can't do anything for them. And he was absolutely right. Because there was no worse of a coach, in my opinion, coming out of a halftime than him. We played well in the first half, but we didn't seem to be able to make any changes at halftime, and I think that was a major downfall.
Now, for offensive coordinator,
real quick.
Yep.
Let's go with Weiss. Let's go with Charlie Weiss Jr. Take him off from Ole Miss. He's been the offensive coordinator there, and let him and Mayer grow together. He's a smart guy. Why not?
All right. Thanks for the call there. And, yeah, it's funny you bring up Charlie Weiss Jr. because when I wrote in the Sunday 7 today on WEEI.com about potential offensive coordinator candidates, one of the names I actually had in there was not Charlie Weiss Jr., but his boss, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, kind of a wild card there. But when it comes to Vrabel, I think the next key question, so you have the guy, who's going to lead this offense? Because we saw last year Gerard Mayo said Alex Van Pelt was the head coach of the offense. And essentially for most of the year, he was. And the caller mentioned the lack of halftime adjustments and they came out of halftime slow. I would say it goes back to think about the times that they poorly managed the end of the first half, whether it was week two against Seattle, where they go quick three and out on offense, bad punt, bad defensive series, Seattle gets points. There was the Miami game, which they didn't give up points at the end of the first half, but they managed it so poorly, Miami had a chance to get points when maybe they otherwise would not have been able to get points. So I want to see, do they manage the end of the first half better? Do they come out of halftime better and more adjusted as well? I would also say some of their game plans this year on both sides of the ball. You look at week three against the Jets where they came out and tried to run a bunch of downfield play action that wasn't working and they kept doing it. Or they tried to pressure Aaron Rodgers and even though that wasn't working, they kept doing it. So I think Vrabel, look, I'm not sitting here telling you he's going to be perfect. But I do think you're going to get consistently better game plans, consistently better adjustments, and I would also add faster adjustments than what you had from last year's coaching staff. So when it comes to offensive coordinator candidates, and we're going to get back to the phone lines, we're going to get to the text lines in just a few minutes, the first guy that I have in mind is Josh McDaniels. And I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, he's a retread. He's been here before. We want some fresh blood. But when you think about Josh McDaniels, this is a guy who consistently had top 10 offenses with the Patriots. In fact, the only year he didn't have a top 10 offense was the Cam Newton year, and Cam Newton couldn't throw. I mean, we saw after week two, he had, 397 yards in week two against Seattle. And after that, it felt like he couldn't throw anymore. So he had a top 10 points per game offense with Matt Cassel. Top 10 points per game offense with Mac Jones. The only time Mac Jones has looked like a pretty good quarterback was the middle of that rookie season when he had Josh McDaniels. I don't think that was a coincidence. Now, are there things about McDaniels' scheme that could be updated? Could they use motions a little bit differently? Maybe a little bit more? Sure. He's had a year away from football. I know he's, you know, there's reports he studied some college offenses. I know he was at least one USC practice in the spring, so maybe he's going to make some tweaks to it, but I think it's a good offense. I think it gets a bad rap complicated-wise because they ran it for so many years And it got to be so big because, again, you had Brady as the starting quarterback for 18 years of that offense, from Weiss to McDaniels to O'Brien back to McDaniels. I think the offense itself, though, is one that it gives the quarterback enough options and enough things protection-wise, enough things with the receivers, that it can be a pretty successful offense for a young quarterback to run. We saw, again, we saw Mac Jones do it. We saw Matt Castle, a guy who hadn't started a game since high school, do a pretty good job with it in 2008. So I think the McDaniels offense sometimes gets a bad rap. I think it's a really good offense. Now, are there things that can be maybe streamlined a little bit, some tweaks here and there to it? Of course. But McDaniels would be a guy that I would have at the top of my list. I'd also consider, if I'm the Patriots, thinking about bringing back Alex Van Pelt as the offensive coordinator. Now, it's not at the top of my list, but if you look at this coaching staff this year and all the things that went wrong, Alex Van Pelt probably did the best job of all the assistant coaches on this staff. Jeremy Springer, I think, did a pretty good job with special teams. I know they had several missed field goals. They had a blocked field goal against Seattle as well. But I thought Alex Van Pelt did the best job. Because think about it. As I said earlier in this show, I thought there were only three guys this year that got noticeably better as football players from July to the end of the season. And two of them were quarterbacks, which was Alex Van Pelt's main area of responsibility. I also think the continuity factor would matter. Now, continuity shouldn't be the only reason you bring a guy back. Like, just because a guy's been here before, if he wasn't good, then don't bring him back. But I think Van Pelt got a little bit better as the year went on. Again, still plenty to criticize. That backwards pass fiasco in Buffalo, I think, was partly on him. There was a lot. It was a big breakdown of the offense, but it was partly on him. I would also say that weird kind of trick play they tried to call against the Chargers that ended up being a fumble that, of course, led to points on the ensuing drive, I didn't like that call. And I mentioned some of the earlier game plans as well that I didn't like. So I'm not sitting here telling you Van Pelt was a great OC this year, but I thought of the assistants, he did the best job. He had probably the least to work with. I mean, he had the worst offensive line talent-wise in the NFL with a new offensive line coach, a rookie wide receivers coach, two rookies at receiver as well on the field. He didn't have a lot to work with, and I thought he did the best job. So if Drake May likes working with Van Pelt, and it seems like they like working together, and I think Van Pelt, again, did a really good job helping develop Drake May. Some of that credits to Drake May, sure, but some of it, maybe even majority of it, credit to Alex Van Pelt. So I would consider keeping Alex Van Pelt around for, again, not my first choice, but I do like the fact that he works so well with Drake May. May, and especially some of these other young players that had trouble this year, at least they wouldn't be learning a new offense. They'd just be trying to improve their own development. And one thing to remember here with the Patriots, if they hire a new offensive coordinator this year, it'll be their fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years. You had McDaniels in 2021, Patricia in 22, O'Brien in 23, Van Pelt in 24. So if you bring in someone new, now we're at five OCs in 5 years, which I think is a major problem. And another selling point on McDaniels and Van Pelt, I don't think they're going anywhere to be head coaches anytime soon. I don't think Van Pelt will ever get a shot as a head coach. I strongly doubt McDaniels will get another one unless maybe he wants to go to college and be a head coach in college. I don't see him getting another shot as a head coach in the NFL. So you know those guys would be here for multiple years, which with a defensive coach like Vrabel, I think that matters. Whereas if you had hired Ben Johnson and he brought in his own system and he was going to call plays, much like Matt LaFleur in Green Bay or Sean McVay with the Rams, Kyle Shanahan with the 49ers as well, you can kind of go through offensive coordinators and you still have the same guy calling plays, the same offense, the same structure. And this is something, when you look at the success of the Patriots over the years, Charlie Weiss was here for multiple years, McDaniels was here for multiple years, O'Brien was here multiple years, and then, of course, back to McDaniels. So they were running the same offense, at least structurally. I know there were changes, obviously, you know, big two tight end sets in 2010 moving forward, the spread elements in 07 on that time frame. But you had the same kind of base structure, and you had continuity there. Guys weren't 1 year in, 1 year out. So that's a big selling point to me for McDaniels and Van Pelt. I'd also look at Nick Caley. He'd probably be my third choice there. And Caley, I think, last year was probably their first choice. Reports were they offered him a pretty hefty contract to be offensive coordinator. He turned it down, partly because he wanted more money, but partly because he's with the Rams. He's their pass game coordinator and their tight ends coach. He probably looked at the Patriots and said, well, you didn't want me to be the OC in 2022, and I would have done a better job than Matt Patricia. Now I'm with the Rams. I don't know if this Mayo thing's going to last beyond 1 year. You don't have a lot of talent, so I'm just going to stay here with the Rams and coach a playoff team, which is exactly what happened. So I wonder if now that they have a little bit more stability at head coach with Mike Vrabel, Drake May has shown some promise, will Nick Caley be willing to come in and say, all right, I'll be your OC? Because Caley's another one, too. He hasn't been an offensive coordinator before, so I don't think it would be a one-year thing as well. I think Caley would come here, be the OC maybe 2, 3, 4 years, probably closer to 2 to 3, and then he'd look to become a head coach. So I don't think he'd be one and done either. Of course, the risk there is he hasn't called plays before. Yeah, he's the pass game coordinator, but Sean McVay is the one calling plays for the Rams. So he's got experience in New England, coached tight ends here, won a couple Super Bowls, has experience in the McVay system. I think he could do some cool stuff blending those systems together if that's something he wants to do. Maybe just wants to come in and run the McVay system. I don't know. I think he could do some cool stuff blending them together. And then the last name I look at, and this is a kind of a wild card, the caller mentioned Charlie Weiss Jr. How about his boss, Lane Kiffin? Had the most talented offense, in his words, most talented team that he's ever had at Ole Miss. They still missed the playoffs in disappointing fashion. I think he could do some really creative things at the NFL level. And he did develop Jackson Dart into one of the best quarterbacks in college football. He's developed a ton of really good skill players. Trey Harris might be my favorite player in the entire NFL draft coming up. So I think that would be, again, kind of a wild card. But I think that would be a fun one there. And I think he could bring some cool stuff to the NFL. Also, he usually only stays places 3 or 4 years. He's been at Ole Miss now a little while. I wonder if he kind of decides to stick there. David, what do we have on the text line regarding Vrabel and the Patriots hire today?
Yeah, so a couple mixed reactions here. The first one I have is, so the offensive line was awful. Vrabel the Great is supposed to come in and fix all. He was working with the Browns offense, and how did that look? I can't get excited about this hire.
Interesting. So when it comes to Vrabel fixing the offense, I just went through my list of offensive coordinators. I think that's the key thing to answer. I do wonder, Vrabel goes to Cleveland, a team that last year with Alex Van Pelt won games with 5 different starting quarterbacks. This year, they have a terrible season. They're going to be picking at the top of the draft. Did Vrabel talk to people in Cleveland that said, hey, we really miss Alex Van Pelt? We want Alex Van Pelt back. We wish we never got rid of Alex Van Pelt. That was an ownership decision. We wanted him to stay. Does, ironically, Vrabel's 1 year as a consultant in Cleveland maybe help Alex Van Pelt keep his job? Because maybe Vrabel heard good things. Maybe Vrabel heard about the difference between, again, a year ago, you win games with 5 different quarterbacks. Now you're one of the worst teams in the league and terrible offense. Does Vrabel look at that and say, all right, maybe I'll give Alex Van Pelt another year in New England with a little bit more talent? David, what else do we have on the text line?
Yeah, one more text here. Glad to know the Patriots will no longer have a players coach. The team culture quickly became a problem under Mayo with zero discipline. The players got worse throughout the season.
Yeah, I think discipline was a huge issue. I mean, go back to, Antonio Gibson's going to start against the Chargers, and then game starts, and there's Ramondre Stevenson starting. To me, it just, that speaks, and that's partly Van Pelt's fault. I know I was just hyping him up a little bit, but that's partly Van Pelt's fault. That speaks to a larger lack of discipline and dysfunction. I mean, go back to the Matt Judon temper tantrum in training camp in front of fans and the media. Do you really think that's going to happen under Mike Vrabel? I mean, go back to Jelani Tavai saying fans need to know their place. Just because they booed a team that had won, at that point, 7 games in 2 years. You think that's going to happen under Mike Vrabel? I don't think so. And I think you can find a happy medium between Gerard Mayo, when things felt too loose, and Bill Belichick, where everything was super strict. I think you can find something a little in between that. And I think Vrabel, he's going to be in between that, but he's going to lean a little bit more towards the Belichick side of strictness. I think that's a good thing. It won't be quite as strict, I think, as things under Bill. I saw once, I think it was Logan Ryan who said this week how when Derrick Henry was in Tennessee, Vrabel would lighten Derrick Henry's practice load a little bit because he knew this guy was getting 35, 40 carries a game, so let's lighten his load during the week. Whereas under Bill Belichick, everybody would just practice the same. So I think, again, that's kind of like Vrabel would have a lot of discipline, but he would look at Derrick Henry and say, hey, this guy's carrying the ball 40 times a game. Maybe let's make his Wednesday, his Thursday a little bit lighter so he's a little bit fresher, not just for the game on Sunday, but maybe later in the season as well. And you can kind of balance that need for toughness, that need for an edge that we saw with the Patriots teams for all those years under Bill with, hey, let's adapt a little bit here and give Derrick Henry a little bit of a lighter load. So I think that maybe is what Vrabel can bring. You're going to have more discipline. You're going to have more accountability. But I also think Vrabel does a better job of pulling the reins back a little bit than I think people want to give him credit for, right? They just think he's the big, you know, 6'4", 250-pound former linebacker, tough guy. Everything is going to be tough, 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 and strict, strict, strict. And I think, look, that's a big part of it. But I think, again, he's going to be able to strike a little bit more of a balance between what we had under Bill Belichick at the Patriots and what we have now under, or what we just had, excuse me, under Jerod Mayo. So I think there will be a good balance there. Let's go to the phones real quick before we take a break. We have Steve in Fall River. Steve, thanks for joining the program. What do you got for us?
I got a lot of things, but let me start by saying I think we might have an upgrade here, but this is so small of the problem with this team. It masks the real problem, the ownership ability to want to spend money and this football ops, redoing this football ops and picking the right players. The guy that's coming in here, Mike Vrabel, if it wasn't for Ryan Tannehill, he wouldn't have a record. He had 24 wins. He left that team in lousy shape. It's not a full-blown deal here that he's going to be a good coach. If you listen to Andy Hart, your compatriot on the radio, it's because they got rid of A.J. Green. Well, guess what? We don't even have
A.J. Brown, but yes.
A.J., whatever he was. He lost his number one receiver. We don't even have that. We may never have that here with Mike Vrabel. So that if you're going to plug in Mike Vrabel's for 3 or 4 wins, you're deluding yourself if we don't get better talent. You talk about changing the offensive coordinator for the first time for 5 years in a row. Does it really matter? No, it's here from 2020. It only matters that it's the quarterback second offensive coordinator. So I'm not going to put as much stock and worry into 5 years. That's just talking points. No one's here from the offense from 2020 or 2021 of any consequence. The third thing, Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels has one season with Mac Jones. He does not get 08 because he lost 5 games. The whole coaching staff was 5 games down from the previous year when they were undefeated with virtually the same team except Tom Brady. So I'm not giving him.
Steve, thanks for the call. We're up against a break there. And look, I think at 08, you got to give McDaniels credit for a guy who hadn't started since high school, had a pretty good season. Again, Castle wasn't elite, but he had a pretty good season, threw for 400 yards in back-to-back games late in that season. And yeah, I know they lost 5 more games. They also had the greatest regular season in the history of the league the year before. So it's not like they went from 10-6 to 5-11 or something like that. They went from 16-0 to 11-5. So, and look, on Steve's point, I know there aren't a lot of guys here from the past 5 years, but Hunter Henry, right, he's had 4 offensive coordinators in 4 years. Mike Onwenu, same thing. Ramondre Stevenson, same thing. So there's not a ton, but there are some guys that fall under that category. And, of course, the biggest point, though, and Steve's right about this, whoever your OC is, it would be Drake May's second offensive coordinator in 2 years. You got to be really careful about that, and you want someone with some stability there. We are going to be joined by Andy Hart, coming right up next after this break.
John Lyons, right now on WEEI.
Let's just go over what he's got. They have a quarterback in place that people love, Drake May. I think people generally saw very positive things. They have $130 million in cap space, and they have the 4th pick in the draft.
No, absolutely. It looks like it's set up. Now they got their coach that they look as their long-term success guy, and And we'll see. Look, you've got to have a marriage, a quarterback, you know, face of the franchise, quarterback, head coach, front office. Now they figured they got it tied in the way they want it. We'll see what happens.
I think this is stabilizing, right? For an organization that's had a lot of turmoil the last 2 years. I mean, this guy's a bona fide good football coach. And I think there's something about coming in on your second go-round, too, right?
Yeah.
This guy learned a lot in his first time being a head coach. It's a unique position. I love this hire.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons talking the hiring of Mike Vrabel as the Patriots' new head coach, a hiring that I think we all kind of expected. This time, maybe even a week ago, at the very least over the last 5 days or so. And joining me now to talk about that, first reaction you hear from him is Andy Hart of WEEI's afternoon program. Andy, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Good morning. How are you?
So let's get right to it, Andy.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, Patriots' new head coach. You in, you out, you in the middle, where you at?
Oh, I'm absolutely in. I think he is, I said this last week when he was unemployed, I think he's at worst a top 12 to 15 NFL coach in the modern standards of that job. I think he is Belichickian in some ways and very Mike Vrabel unique in others. I think you bring instant credibility and stability to the Patriots organization that has not had that for the last couple years. Is it perfect? No. Was he fired in Tennessee? Obviously. A lot of coaches get fired. A lot of great coaches get fired. But I think this is absolutely a step forward for the Patriots organization and for a fan base that was really uncertain of where this ship was headed over the last couple years. I now believe you have, at bare minimum, a top 15 coach and a top 15 quarterback. You marry those two things together with some decent drafting and some free agent spending, and you should be a competitive football team.
So, Andy, you said that Vrabel will do some things that are Belichickian, but then also Mike Vrabel-type things.
Yep.
Look, you've been around this team a long time. You've covered this team a long time. What are the differences between him and Belichick? Like, what are those Mike Vrabel things that are different from maybe the way Bill would do them?
Well, I say, first and foremost, he is a former player. He brings that emotion that you expect from most former players that, quite honestly, we didn't really see from Gerard Mayo over the last year. If you go sort of look around the internet, find some of his press conferences from Tennessee, he can be biting. That's who he is. He's a ball buster. And if he doesn't like what you say, he's going to tell you he doesn't like what you say. He's a very strong-willed guy. So I think there's there's some similarities and differences. Strong-willed, knows what he wants, can be defiant, can be kind of a dink to the press or to anybody.
Yep, that sounds familiar.
Yep, but he's more aggressive in that, I would say, than Bill ever was. He'll give you a back and forth. He'll attack a reporter more than Bill ever did or would. I do think a similarity that he doesn't get enough credit for is his football IQ, how smart a head coach he is. You know, some of the things that we would consider Belichickian in terms of manipulating rules to the benefit of his team, you know, that 12th player on the field that he utilized a couple years ago to work the clock, the double penalties that he utilized to work the clock against the Patriots, a Belichick-type move, a Belichick move in and of itself. Actually, so I think there's that. But again, he is an ex-player, and he brings some of that to the table. He is younger. I think he bonds better to players than Bill ever did. Read some of the stuff from Mike Giardi out of Tennessee, and Mike covered the Titans for a while there for NFL Network, and the players would just run through a wall for him. Some of the bonds he built and connections he built with players, I don't think Bill ever did. And that's not a shot at Bill. It's just the differences in their personalities and their styles. You know who he kind of reminds me of, in a way, is, and this is more general relationships and coaching style, Dante Scarnecchia.
Okay.
Dante Scarnecchia could MF the life out of players and just embarrass them, and you're like, wow, he's going to lose that guy. That guy will never play for him again, and that guy would run through a brick wall for Dante Scarnecchia. And I think Vrabel does that. He can be a hard-ass, a hard-o, just biting criticisms with guys, and yet for however he manipulates all of that, they love him, and they'd do anything for him, and they'd play to the finish for him and play tough for him. So that's actually, he's kind of, in my opinion, he's kind of a blend of Bill Belichick and Dante Scarnecchia. And if he's half as successful as either of those two guys, things are looking up in New England.
So, Andy, I saw, I think it was from Teddy Bruschi earlier today, a comparison that he said, Vrabel is more like Bill Parcells than yep. Bill Belichick. And I think that, to me, that sounded kind of adequate. Like, he'll mm-hmm. go back and forth with people. He'll really get under players' skin. But at the end of the day, there's this deep connection that the guys really care about. I mean, we even saw that here with someone like Bill Belichick, who even yep. though Parcells kind of busted his balls and gave him a hard time towards the end of that Jets tenure, Belichick would still kind of always have that loyalty to Bill Parcells and still does to this day. I know there's some rocky points in there as well, but it feels like, I think Bruschi's comparison is pretty adept that maybe we're getting more of a Parcells than even, because we talk a lot about the balance between a Belichick and a Mayo, right? Can you find something in the middle? Or what? I think a Parcells type guy might be a real asset at this time with such a young team and a young player at quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing we're going to learn is he's not really Belichick, he's not really Parcells, he's not really Mayo, he's Mike Vrabel. And the beauty of that comes from experience in college, experience as an assistant position coach in Houston, as a coordinator, as a head coach, going to Cleveland, seeing different things, all of these, and obviously a decade plus of playing experience and being a spokesman in the locker room, you know, brings about your personality as a leader. And I think that's where it's going to be successful is I think he's uniquely Mike Vrabel. I think, you know, I've always believed coaching is an art, not a science. Like, you can't take notes and you can't mimic the guy you worked for. You can steal. You can absolutely steal, just like musicians sample from others. But true coaching, truly good coaching, truly great coaching is an art. And it's dealing with individual players, teams, units, situations on the fly in a way that can't be done by consulting a book or going through your resume and Rolodex of who you learned from. It's, I need you to give me whatever you think is right right now. And that's in a press conference. Gerard Mayo failed at that, responding to press conference situations poorly. And Mike Vrabel will do better at that, I think. And in game situations, I thought Gerard Mayo failed at times in those really gotta-have-it moments for a coach right now. Didn't do a great job. I think Mike Vrabel will be better in that. So is there Parcells there? Sure. Is there some of what I said, Belichick, Scarnecchia? Sure. You know, the good thing is everybody's comparing him to really good head coaches. And again, if he's half as successful as any of these guys we're comparing him to, you've turned a corner in the right direction today.
So what do you make of this search, though, Andy? Because I feel like the Patriots got a great head coach in Mike Vrabel, so they got a great result. But the process of you basically thumb your nose at the Rooney Rule and interview two guys that had no chance of getting the job, then you interview the guy you want in Vrabel, then you do, what was it, an hour and a half Zoom with Ben Johnson, who apparently, according to Diana Russini, had a great interview, mm-hmm. and then, what, less than 48 hours later, you just hire Vrabel. Anyway, I mean, I don't know about you, but I just feel like considering they did no search last year, even back in 2000 when they hired Bill Belichick, essentially no real search there. They wanted Bill. They had to trade yep. for him. So they haven't done a real coaching search since, what, they hired Pete Carroll? I was hoping there would have been a more expansive search, even though, again, you got the result that I think a lot of us wanted, myself included, who's, I think Vrabel will be good. But I was hoping for a more in-depth process in this.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people have rightly said, even if the process is just simply about information gathering or learning what other teams are doing, what modern NFL is doing, because you've been, and I say this with, it has a hint of negativity, but you've been set in your ways or stuck in your ways for a quarter of a century here with great results, but you've kind of been insulated from change and modern standards and everything going along in the league. You had the opportunity to talk to, you know, whoever was willing to talk to you, basically, and cast a wide net. And I know and that's also a thing, though, that it's weird. We mock the Jets because they're talking to too many people, or we even mock the Patriots for talking to too many people last year for the coordinator job, right? Oh, they talked to 12 guys. They hired the 12th guy. And some of that is people turning it down and candidates' quality and all that. But and now we're like, wow, they should have talked to more guys. And In the end, I agree with you. If you can utilize it as information gathering, I think it's great. But the reality for me was there was two candidates. They interviewed both candidates. Two good candidates. Two very different candidates. And do I think it was a bag job? Yes. I mean, we had the report from NFL Network that I retweeted. Tom Pelissero said the reason the Raiders didn't even request an interview with Vrabel is because Vrabel told Brady, yeah, I'm going to end up going back to New England. So it was a bag job. It was going to happen all along. We all felt that way. I felt that way when Robert Kraft said Elliott Wolf is staying, but the next head coach will have significant say. The way he kind of talked out of both sides of his mouth, I was like, well, the only way you can say that is if you pretty much already know who the next head coach is and you've talked to him about what the situation will be like. And I think that was the case with Vrabel. So I think Vrabel was the next head coach last weekend. And if he does a good job, if he does the job I think a lot of us think he can and will do, we'll forget about the search process or lack thereof of a wide search process very quickly. I will say, just in terms of the Rooney Rule aspect, I don't really know what you're supposed to do, quite honestly. Especially,
well, I think there were more qualified guys they could have interviewed, whether it was Aaron Glenn, Brian Flores, and I know the whole you have to be with them in
Flores.
Person.
I don't want Flores, and there's no offensive coaches. You interviewed the closest thing.
Sure,
yeah,
but
I don't know. I don't really know that there's a lot. I've heard people say that, and theoretically I agree with it. Now, I think the Rooney Rule is a good idea that is really difficult to execute at the pace you need to within the NFL, but also at the sort of whim of who's available, who the candidates are. And I actually thought, in this case, my take on this was they were shams. Like, everybody knew those guys were not head coach candidates, but those guys got their name back out there. They've been out of the league for 2 years. So they benefited from the sham interview. This could get Byron Leftwich maybe an offensive coordinator job so that next time he interviews, he's actually interviewing for a head coaching job. So I get the criticisms. I just think it's really difficult to do. You know, if they were going to hire a defensive head coach, I think Aaron Glenn realized this, it was going to be Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
And if they were going to hire an offensive head coach, it was going to be Ben Johnson. Well, there are no, my buddy Arkan in the afternoon looked this up. I believe there's no offensive coordinators right now, offensive coordinators right now in the NFL. So there really aren't candidates available unless you just go to, you know, some quarterback's coach that, yeah, he can utilize the process to get some experience. So I get that it's a bad look because it was obviously a bad look. Hell, it was a bad look just for the way they did it. The first two quickly got him out of the way, and then everybody reported, like rap sheets on NFL Network minutes later. Now the Patriots can hire anybody they want that they've gotten that out of the way. It's like, maybe you could word that a little differently to help us out a little bit, crap sheet.
So, but Andy, I guess the next big question here, because they have their guy in the head coach, who's going to be the offensive coordinator here? Because you have a young quarterback in Drake May who showed a lot of promise this year, has potential. As of now, you don't have a lot of other things to work with on offense. I know that can change and probably will change this offseason, but do you have a guy or two that you really want?
Important job, or certainly the next most important job, because of Drake May and his development. And not only his development, but the stability. You know, that was one of the arguments. Not only is Ben Johnson a really good young coach who may be the best offensive mind in football, if you hire him as your head coach and there's any success, you're guaranteed Drake May will have the same guy for an extended period of time. Now you have a defensive head coach. So who's going to be the HC of the offense, as Gerard Mayo liked to call Alex Van Pelt? The obvious one, and I've heard this all along, that there was a chance they were a tandem, is Josh McDaniels. You know, I had heard that Robert likes that idea, that Robert likes the idea of Mike Vrabel as the head coach and Josh McDaniels coming back once again as the offensive coordinator. We all know that Josh has been a really good offensive coordinator here. And here, not just with Tom Brady, here with Matt Castle, here with Mac Jones, he's done really good things. So the other aspect of that is he might be the one offensive coordinator you can hire who probably ain't going anywhere to be a head coach. I think his head coaching days are done.
I think those days are
right.
Over.
And I know he doesn't want to coach in college, and I don't think he'll get an NFL job. So, you know, if you hire him as the offensive coordinator, he could be here for as long as Vrabel's here, and you could have really good stability. I like it. You know, I think he's worked in this time off he's had to learn to study college offenses, to try to add and change his system and his offense and modernize it, maybe simplify it, because I think that's a concern. His offense was a massive playbook by the end, he and Vrabel. I think you need to pare that down if you want that to work with not just Drake May, but Jalen Polk and Javon Baker and young receivers and all that. So I think Josh...
And I think that's something they tried to do in 2022 with
absolutely.
Patricia Judge. They just
absolutely.
Picked the wrong guys to do it, but I think
correct.
That was kind of the theory behind
100%.
It. 100%. Hey, we have this complicated playbook. Let's streamline it and just let the athletes be athletes.
Correct.
They just... picked the wrong guys to do it.
They've been trying to dumb it down for years now, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I mean it just the way business is being done.
Right.
Offenses across the league are simpler. You know, I listened to Bill Cowher talk about this last week on a podcast. Like, if you're a defensive guy, you see offenses and you just say, wow, they don't do a lot. They kind of do the same things over and over. It's not as complex as it used to be, and that's okay. You know, that works sometimes.
Well, it's the nature, too, of the CBA. You have less practice time,
correct.
Less meeting time. So it's one thing to have a complicated offense, but if you don't have time to teach it or adequately practice it, it doesn't help you, you know? So
and
I think
especially
that's,
with roster turnover as well, not just
that's
the
a huge
CBA,
part of it as well. And now you have a 17th game, so you have to manage
yep.
things slightly differently late
yep.
in the year. So, yeah, I think it's there's a lot of factors there in who the next OC is going to be. Andy Hart. I really appreciate you taking the time to join
that
me here. Been a whirl.
I know it's a quick discussion.
I know
it
it's been a whirlwind morning. I know you've got a lot to get to tomorrow on the WEI afternoon
Looking
show starting
to it, yes.
2 o'clock. Yeah, it should be a fun one there. But Andy, again, thank you so much for taking the time. Enjoy some of the wild card playoff games today.
Oh, I am going to sit down today and I am going to watch a lot of football. And just between you and I might drink a bunch of Miller Lights.
All right. There you go, Andy. Just make sure you can make it to the afternoon show tomorrow.
Will do. Will
yeah,
do.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
Man.
See you.
I see a bunch of you lined up here on the phone lines and, of course, the text line as well. I'm going to get to all of your texts and calls coming up next. Just going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right out to you, 617-779-7937. More on the Patriots hiring Mike Vrabel coming up next. Back here on WEEI, we're going to go right back to the phone lines here. We got Mark in Amherst wants to talk about Alex Van Pelt. Mark, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm excited about Vrabel coming in, but I wanted to unpack a little bit more what you were saying earlier. It sounds like, allegedly, McDaniels has moved back to Metro West, and like not that it's necessarily breaking news. I heard a rumor, but... that being said, everything is predicated on Vrabel and Wolf's ability to address the offensive line and making that a priority. And so everything I'm about to say about AVP and McDaniels being able to coexist is predicated on everybody being on the same page of you got to address the offensive line and protect your main first. So that being said, the question is, if indeed McDaniels is living back in the area and he is going to have a spot on the team, could you envision an opportunity where AVP is basically relegated in some ways, but is the quarterback's coach for May because of the development he did? And do you think both personalities could exist with McDaniels and AVP working together to really take the offense to the next level, again, addressing the O-line being the key piece? I'm just curious your thoughts.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mark, and it's a great question, right? Is there a way for Alex Van Pelt to stick around? Because I think they should at least give him consideration to stay on as offensive coordinator. If they go with a McDaniels or even anybody besides AVP, I could see AVP willing to stick around as quarterback's coach. The question with someone like McDaniels is, for many of the years here in New England, McDaniels was not just the offensive coordinator. He was also the quarterback's coach, and that was with Tom Brady, that was with Mac Jones. So is that something that the Patriots say, hey, McDaniels can coach quarterbacks, we can rely on him to develop Drake May, to continue to develop Joe Milton, or do they look at it and say, hey, AVP, we have questions about his scheme or questions about his play calling, but we saw May and Milton develop really well in their rookie years. Do we want to keep him around? I personally would be open to something like that. I think AVP would be good with it. I don't know if Vrabel and McDaniels would be good with it because, again, it's something Josh has done quite a bit in the past, is coach quarterbacks Vrabel. He was in Cleveland last year, so he may have heard praise of Alex Van Pelt from guys in Cleveland, but he has not worked directly with Alex Van Pelt. So it's a good question. I could see AVP being open to it. I personally would be open to it. I just don't know if McDaniels or Vrabel would be open to that. They might want their own guy for their own system and kind of go from there. But I think it's something definitely worth considering. Let's go to David in the car. David wants to talk Mike Vrabel. David, welcome in.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking the call. So here's the long. I think this was a done deal. They wanted Vrabel all along. Now, in corporate world, we all know that sometimes ownership, people up in very high positions make decisions and promises, and that's what happened with Gerard Mayo. They made a promise to Mr. Kraft. He gave him an opportunity, and then clearly realized it was a mistake that he brought in somebody as a head coach who never had even been an official full-time defensive coordinator. So I think Vrabel was a plan all along, and now obviously it's showing. I am very grateful because I wanted Vrabel right from the beginning. I think Josh McDaniels will not come in here just as a quarterback's coach. He'll come in here if he is the OC, if he's offered that position, and also the quarterback's coach, because we, as you guys just mentioned it, we all know how successful he was with these other quarterbacks when he was here. I mean, look at Mac Jones, rookie year. A hell of a year. I mean, yep. He broke records. Look at his numbers. Yep. There are numbers that are records. And that's because of Josh McDaniels. So to bring him in here, other than to be the two of them, OC and a quarterback's coach, would be a mistake in my opinion. And this just changed everything, bringing Mike Vrabel. This just changed everything. The fans' perspective, I think they just regained the respect of the Kraft family. A lot of them have lost it. A lot of them have lost it. And I think now it's showing that, okay, we do care about our fans. We want to build this team to be a playoff contender. That's not even talk Super Bowl. We just talk playoffs for now.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, David. That was something Robert Kraft said in his press conference on Monday, talking about the Gerard Mayo firing, that the next guy, he wanted someone that could help the Patriots get back to the playoffs. And I think Mike Vrabel raises your ceiling. I think a Patriots team with Mike Vrabel in 2024 would have won 6 games. Maybe 7, probably 6. Now, let's be clear. 6-11 is still a bad football team, right? Even 7-10, that's still a bad football team. So the roster is still the biggest question here. All right, you have the head coach question answered. I also want to know who's going to be the OC, who's going to be some of the assistants. But the biggest question right now, what is this roster going to look like when the Patriots take the field for training camp in July? Because they have a lot of money to spend. They have a lot of draft capital, and not just a lot of draft capital, but valuable draft capital, right? Top 4 pick in the first round, high pick in the second round, multiple picks in the third round, thanks to the Judon trade. So you have high draft capital. You have quite a bit of it. You have a lot of money to spend. So, yeah, you have the head coach question answered. And I agree with the caller. I think they might have wanted Mike Vrabel 12 months ago if you gave them truth serum. They might have wanted him then, but they felt for several reasons they were going to honor their commitment to Gerard Mayo. I think they thought Mayo would have been better. They had the commitment there. There's the financial aspect. Now that they have Vrabel, I think you got to start looking and say, what are the next biggest questions? And OC's hanging out there. Assistants are hanging out there. The biggest one is the roster. We're going to be taking you up until 12:30. That's when NFL playoff coverage starts on WEEI. So we're going to take one quick break, get back to your texts and calls before we wrap up the show. But first, it is time to trend with David Azer.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, one last time. Let's get you caught up with what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. After a handful of head coaching interviews, the Patriots have reached a multi-year contract agreement with Mike Vrabel to become their next head coach. The Bruins snapped their 6-game losing streak yesterday afternoon, defeating the Florida Panthers 4-3 after David Pastrnak scored the game-winning goal with 1.2 seconds remaining in overtime. Jeremy Swayman had 40 saves in the win. The Bruins are back home on Tuesday night to play the Lightning at 7 p.m. The Celtics are getting set to face the Pelicans at 6 p.m. tonight. They'll look to right the ship after falling to the Kings on Friday night. The Celtics are 5-5 in their last 10 games. As John Lyons just mentioned, Westwood One's coverage of the NFL wildcard weekend continues on right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 12:30 with the Denver Broncos heading up north to face the Buffalo Bills. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
is John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, I'm John Lyons, taking you up till NFL playoff coverage at 12:30. So we've got a few more minutes here if you want to jump in and talk about Mike Vrabel, 617-779-7937. One early report here I'm seeing from Charles Robinson of Yahoo. Ryan Cowden, who's currently an executive advisor to the New York Giants front office, is expected to be added to the Patriots personnel department. If you don't know who Ryan Cowden is, he worked with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. He was the vice president of player personnel from 2018 to 2022 and the interim general manager in 2022. So this is a Vrabel guy. We'll see how that meshes with Elliott Wolf. Seems like Elliott Wolf is going to stay there, but if this is a guy who worked with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, was an intern GM with Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, chances are this guy could have as much, if not more, power than Elliott Wolf. So that's an early report from Charles Robinson of Yahoo about 8 minutes or so ago about who could be added to the Patriots personnel department. David Azer's our producer. David, what do you got on the text line for us?
Yeah, a couple texts here. So first one says, I'm really interested to learn what power Vrabel acquired in the front office. No way he looks at the results of the contracts signed last offseason, both free agents and retained players, and the draft picks, and is okay with the status quo.
Yeah, it's a great question, right? How much power are they going to give Mike Vrabel? I don't think anyone is going to have as much power as Bill Belichick had here, where he had total control over everything in the football department, from coaching to the roster to what color Gatorade they use, right? Like, I don't think anyone else is ever going to get that power from the Crafts. And in fairness, Bill kind of earned it, right? He won 6 Super Bowls. I know it didn't work out at the end. I could see Vrabel, though, having a lot more power than Gerard Mayo. Not to the level that Bill had, but a lot more power than Gerard Mayo had. I already mentioned that one report. Ryan Cowden looks like he's being brought in. That's a Vrabel guy. I could see Vrabel having significant input on the types of players they draft, they sign a free agency. Maybe not all the specific players themselves, but he might say, hey, if we're going to sign a receiver, these are the measurables I want. If we're going to sign a defensive end, I want them to fit this profile or I don't want them. And I could see Vrabel having that sort of power and maybe having some players here and there where he says, hey, I want this specific guy, and the Patriots get that guy. So I do think Vrabel will have a lot more power than Gerard Mayo, just not quite as much as Bill Belichick had. I think they're going to try to strike some sort of balance there between him and the front office. David, what else we got on the text line?
Yeah, so one more here. Okay, got it. They said, with the changes that you are describing, how could you forget a legit general manager who can evaluate talent, draft talent, and sign the right free agents? Also, a defensive coordinator wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because a general manager is not something the Crafts have done. You go back to all these guys that led the personnel department. Right now, Elliott Wolf, executive vice president of player personnel. There was Nick Caserio, who was, I think, vice president of player personnel. Scott Pioli had that title as well. I think Dave Ziegler's title was either vice president or director of player personnel. So the actual GM title, not something the Crafts have really done. Would they change that for someone that Vrabel really wanted to work with? Or would it be, hey, you don't have the GM title, but essentially you are the GM, which is the situation they had with Elliott Wolf in 2024? I think it's also possible. Kraft mentioned the new grading system they put in with Elliott Wolf last offseason. Maybe Elliott Wolf stays on through the draft, and they make a change after the draft. That happens quite a bit. And I know it seems weird that you would hire a new head coach, keep the GM on or the executive vice president on for a few more months and then fire him. But that's the way it works a lot of times in NFL front offices, where there's coaching changes after the season, front office changes after the draft. So that's definitely possible. I think ideally the Crafts want Vrabel and Elliott Wolf to work together. Now, will they actually be able to work harmoniously together? I don't know, but I think that's the Crafts' preference. But if Mike Vrabel went to them after the draft and said, all right, I want Ryan Cowden to be the GM, I want Wolf out, or I want so-and-so to be the GM, I want Wolf out, I think they would acquiesce. As long as Vrabel didn't have total control over the roster, because again, I don't think they're going to give that power again, I think they'd be open to that. So again, Mike Vrabel hired as Patriots head coach, the 16th head coach in Patriots history. I like the hire a lot. I was hoping they would interview a few more candidates, but I like the hire a lot. I think it increases the Patriots' ceiling. They still have roster work to do. I still want to see who the offensive coordinator is, but I think this helps them out and increases their ceiling. I think it's going to be a long-term great fit as well. David Azar, our producer, we kind of had to scramble here to jump on air when Vrabel got hired earlier than we were expecting. Did a great job for us today. I'm John Lyons. Stick around on WEEI for NFL playoff coverage. But again, Mike Vrabel is the new head coach of the New England Patriots. Thanks for listening, following along, calling, texting. Have a good rest of your Sunday.